chapter 33. We're almost finished with Deuteronomy. We started our study of Deuteronomy in Sunday school back on October the 24th, 2021. We have not done Deuteronomy every single week. We've done it 95% of the time, but there have been weeks where we maybe had a special day or we did a side study for a very brief time. But all in all, it's been since October of 2021. We are looking at Moses' final message to the tribes and his prayer for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We got down to Zebulun, verses 18 and 19. Zebulun 18 and 19. Let's go ahead and if someone would read through verse 25, 18 to 25. Volunteer? Yes, George, I see that hand. Go ahead.
You said 18 to 25. And of Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. And they shall call the people unto the mountain, and there they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of the treasures hid in the sand." And of Gad he said, "Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part of himself, because there, in a portion of a lawgiver, he was seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel." And of Dan he said, "Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan." And of Naphtali he said, "O Naphtali, satisfy with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south." And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be."
All right, thank you. If you recall, when Moses gave these, it's kind of like a message prayer. You can see the. Kind of the tone of Moses as he spoke to the 12 tribes. He was also praying to the Lord for the tribes. All that he said to the tribes was positive. Now Jacob, the father of the 12 sons that make up the 12 tribes, when he gave a final blessing before he died in Genesis chapter 49, and we're going to be referring back to Genesis 49 a couple of times in our study this morning, but he pointed out some of the things that were wrong with the sons. Moses was all positive. The father, Jacob, he brought out some of the things that needed to be corrected in the sons. All right, let's start out with Zebulun, verses 18 and 19, and also Issachar is included here. These are the fifth and sixth sons of Jacob and Leah. Moses prayed that they would be blessed in their daily lives, especially through trade on the sea. Zebulun, he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents." Jacob identified Zebulun with the sea in chapter 49 of Genesis and verse number 13, "And Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. He shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon." And then Issachar, verses 14 and 15, "Issachar is strong, is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good in the land, that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute." So Issachar was near the Sea of Galilee, and Zebulun was a few miles from the Mediterranean Sea. In verse 18 here in Deuteronomy 33, where Moses says, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and then Issachar in thy tents," the sayings "in thy going out" and "in thy tents" cover the whole of daily life. Basically, Moses is asking God to bless these tribes in their everyday tasks. And of course, we also should pray that God, as we go through our daily tasks and what we do, glorifies him, that we are in the center of his will. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that's sane that doesn't want God's blessings upon their life. You know, going to work, coming home, the rest. So Moses wanted God to bless them even in the simplest tasks of life. In verse 19, they shall call the people unto the mountain, and there they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance, or draw from the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. The picture here is that of worship, followed by a communal feast. If you recall, the Jews had to bring their sacrifices to the central sanctuary, and there they would enjoy these family feasts. I can't help but to think of a family reunion. It could also be pointing to the two tribes sharing their bounties that God had blessed them with, sharing them with their brothers and sisters and giving thanks to God for his generosity, sort of a Jewish family picnic. And so Moses was even concerned about the simple things in life, enjoying one another, fellowshipping, enjoying a meal together. That sort of thing. And then we come to Gad. Verses 20 and 21. I remember when I had to memorize not only the 12 tribes in Bible college, but I had to memorize where they were located on the map. And so one way I remembered Ephraim and Gad, I would think of E-Gad. Like, E-Gad! Now, I know that sounds silly, but it's been 40 years and I still remember that. That Ephraim and Gad are side by side. Located east of the Jordan, if you turn all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 3, in verses 12 through 16... Remember that Moses allowed certain tribes to go to the east side of the Jordan prematurely. Those were Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh, to give them fertile land for their cattle and their flocks, their herds and their flocks. And this land, which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave unto the Reubenites and the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave unto the half tribe of Manasseh all the region of Argob. I love these names, don't you? Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Jair, the sons of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob under the coast of Geshuri, and Maacathai, and called them after his own name, Bashan Ha Voth Jair. Say that fast 10 times. Go ahead, I dare you. Unto this day, and I gave Gilead unto Machir, and unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites, I gave them Gilead, even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. Now, we're going to have a quiz next Sunday on all these names and places. Please be ready. Just kidding. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine having to... And they all have to be spelled exactly. No incorrect spellings. Wouldn't that be something, huh? So Moses recognized that God had chosen the best land for the flocks and herds of of Gad. Also, Reuben and Manasseh, again, were involved in that. Gad was a courageous tribe. I don't know if you notice as we go through these, many of the tribes were filled with men that were quite courageous and warriors. And no doubt, as they would go into the promised land, have to conquer all these nations, you sort of need some warriors, right? I found out yesterday, I didn't know this. I knew some of the reasons why Rome fell. But I never knew that one of the reasons Rome fell was because of the debauchery of men and eventually kind of the feminization of men. We don't see that in America at all, do we? But what happened was they couldn't get anybody to join the Roman army. And you need men in the army. Now, of course, we got ladies in battle and all that kind of stuff. But for all of the history of man until recently, it was the men that went out to fight wars, correct? Something to think about how things are changing. And as you know, if you watch the news and pay attention at all, our nation is in trouble. Big, serious trouble. And it's not just going to go away. We got to stop this mentality. Yeah, but we're America. You know, we're immune. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where America is God's chosen people. But I do see where Israel is God's chosen people. And I do see that they've gone through it a lot. And most of it was because of sin. So are we going to get away with sin because we are Americans? Again, Gad was a courageous tribe that sent warriors into Canaan to help conquer the land. You can write down these verses. We're not going to look at them now because we're going into Joshua when we finish Deuteronomy, but in between Deuteronomy and Joshua, we're going to look, of course, we're going to do a brief little study of heart, soul, and mind, because there is some confusion, and we're going to do it both in the Old and New Testament. You know, for instance, a verse that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how does mind and heart fit together and that sort of thing? So we're going to talk about that. Joshua 1, 12 through 18. Joshua 1, 12 through 18, if you want to look ahead and see Gad. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 18. Chapter 4, 12 through 18. And then lastly, chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. 22, 1 through 4. When Israel defeated the nations east of the Jordan, Gad took a lion's share for themselves. Verse 20, and of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwells as a lion. Some translations have it, he crouches as a lion, and tears off the arm with the crown of his head. Talking about the scalp. And these are battles in Canaan. So Gad had a lot of territory east of the Jordan and was a leader in the victories when they were in battle. Verse 21, and he provided the first part of himself, or for himself, because they're in a portion of the lawgiver. Some translations say commander, was he seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgment with or for Israel. He provided the first part for himself, or chose the best land for himself. And then a commander's portion was reserved. So again, they got a lion's share. They took plenty for themselves. And then next in verse 22 is Dan. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp or cub. He shall leap from Bashan, or he that shall leap from Bashan. So Dan, since he was called a lion's cub or a lion's whelp, it would speak of immaturity. But what does a lion's cub turn into? A lion, yeah. So the cute little cubs, but then they turned into a ferocious lion. And so even though at this point they were an immature tribe, they showed great promise and ultimately had great strength. The second part of the verse could be translated, he shies away from the viper. Again, back in Genesis chapter 49, we read what Jacob had to say about Dan. Genesis 49, 16 and 17. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels so that his riders shall fall backward. Horses don't like snakes, do they? You might get thrown from one if they see one. And the serpent and the lion are both associated with Satan. We see that as far back as Genesis 3. Also Revelation 12, 9. That serpent, the devil. Revelation 12, 14 and 15. Revelation 20, verse 2. And also 1 Peter 5, 8, where Peter speaks of the devil going about as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. Dan, unfortunately, became very idolatrous and apostate. If you want to read about that, you can read about it in Judges chapters 17 and 18. Dan became very idolatrous. And, of course, the nation as a whole consistently battled idolatry, didn't they? And began to worship the gods of the lands that they ultimately would take over and conquer. And it just got worse and worse until finally the northern tribes were taken captive by Assyria. And later, 100 years or so later, the southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were taken captive by Babylon. And then after the 70 years, when they got released and they went back to their homeland, some of them did, they finally got over idolatry. Moses warned them over and over and over. The prophets warned them over and over and over and over. And they still ended up in idolatry. The human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you know something? We're no better. We're no better. We have our own idols, don't we? Next, we go to Naphtali, verse number 23, Naphtali. And Naphtali, of Naphtali, he said, oh, Naphtali, satisfied with favor or blessing, full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. So Naphtali would enjoy God's favor and full blessing. Naphtali would possess the land west of Galilee and south of the northern, and I'm trying to read my writing, but I can't. Danites, I think, northern Danites. Not only were they promised God's full blessing, but they were also promised expansion to the south. And again, that's where the Sea of Galilee is located. They were also promised expansion westward, almost all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Barak was from this tribe. Soldiers from Naphtali assisted him and Deborah. You can read about that in Judges chapter 5, verse number 18. They also assisted Gideon in Judges 7, verse 23. And Naphtali is also mentioned in Messianic prophecy. Places like Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 1. We find Matthew 4, 13 through 16. These are some things you can look up if you'd like to. in your own study. Which brings us to Asher, verses 24 and 25. And of Asher, let Asher be blessed with children. So Moses requested of the Lord that the tribe of Asher would be a tribe of fertility and prosperity. Let him be acceptable, or the favorite, to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Now, the only ones that could take olive oil and put it on their feet were the most wealthy. But there were many, many olive groves in the territory of Asher. So they had an abundance of olive oil, and so they'd even put it on their feet. Wow. The name Asher actually means blessed. And so Moses asked God to please bless the tribe with many children. He also requested that they would be kind of the favorite of the other tribes and enjoy great prosperity. And then in verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And there's some discussion on what this means. Some take it that the translation shoes is accurate, which it is. It can be translated shoes. And that would mean they had some kind of special shoes that consisted of hard metal, whether it be brass or iron or whatever. It seemed like it'd be very comfortable. But anyway, they were probably coated in some kind of metal for protection. Another translation, it can be translated gates. So it speaks of the strength of the gates around the towns, the city gates, meaning they were very secure. So you can translate it shoes if you'd like. Visualize metal-coated shoes or gates, as some translations have it, meaning the towns or cities were fortified. The gates around were fortified. It's great to have a choice, isn't it? And then, of course, he prayed that God would give them the strength to accomplish their daily work. In the last four verses of this chapter, and then we have one more chapter left. When we get through chapter 34, I want to do a quick kind of study, not even a study, like an overview, by focusing on the word remember. We're going to focus on the word remember, which Moses used often. It will help us to remember some key points of the book. Because this book, when we think of Deuteronomy, we don't think of it being very practical, but it is. And I hope you've seen that in our study. There's much here for us. Though it was written to the Jews, there's much to glean from Deuteronomy. Let's look at these last verses. The happiness of God's people. The happiness. These are the last words recorded by Moses. This is it. Now, it was probably, again, written, this portion was written after Moses died. Somebody penned the words down. But these are the last words before Moses met the Lord on the mount, knowing when he would die. The words focus on the happiness of God's people because of his blessings. Now, of course, happiness is fleeting. Joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. For the child of God, the born-again believer, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can have the joy of the Lord and should have the joy of the Lord no matter what the circumstances of life. But happiness comes and goes. And it certainly did in the history of Israel, did it not? And what Moses is saying is, you know, if you just obey the word of God, keep him in the center of your thinking, Focus your life on His will and His desires and purposes. And then you can have more of a consistent happiness. All right, verse number 26. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Remember, that is a synonym for Israel. And Moses begins these final words with praise for God. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon or through the heaven in thy help or to thy help, and in his excellency or majesty on the sky. And so Moses begins by saying, you know, Israel, our God is a unique God. He's the one true and living God. He is the sovereign God of the universe. There is no God but our God. What a privilege it is to be of the minority that know God or can know God. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. So Moses visualized the joy that Israel should have because they knew this one true God. I mean, all the other nations, they had these gods made with human hands stuck in a temple somewhere. They couldn't hear, couldn't speak, couldn't respond, could not help. But Moses said, our God, the eternal God, without beginning, without end, is thy refuge. And he holds us up with his everlasting arms. In Psalm, and we can certainly turn to a lot of Psalms and talk about the majesty and the greatness and the sovereignty of God. But in Psalm 18, verse 10, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And this, of course, is symbolism, talking about how God is moving about to help those that know him rather than sitting idle in a temple somewhere. As a matter of fact, one more, Psalm 68. Again, we could look at many. But Psalm 68 and verse number 33. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. God is even called Israel's home and a dwelling place. Psalm 90, verse 1. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Israel abides in, or should, and this is what Moses is praying, that they would abide in God no matter where they go. Remember, Jesus said that he abides in us and we abide in him if we've been born again. So as we go forward by faith, God defeats our enemies. He holds us up in battle no matter what you face this morning. If you are a born-again believer, and I pray you are, if not, it'd be a great day to repent of your sin. That means to be willing to turn from sin. Believe from the depths of your heart, the depths of your being, that Jesus loved you and died upon a cross to pay your sin debt in full. Somebody had to pay it. Jesus paid it. If we reject his payment, then we're going to have to pay for our own sins, and we do that by an eternity separated from God in a literal, real place called hell. So the choice is ours. Don't ever think God sends someone to hell. He never has. No, we send ourselves there. Though God has split open the earth and swallowed people up, and they ended up in hell, so as part of judgment for sin, rebellion. But believe with all your heart, from the depths of your heart, that Jesus is the Savior, that he did die upon a cross. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Receive him as Savior and Lord. But as many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall not enter into. As a matter of fact, he goes so far as to say also, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I know the world says, doesn't matter what you believe, just be sincere in what you believe. We're all going down different roads leading to the same place. That's the biggest lie of the devil I think there is. There's one way. Jesus said he is the way. So if we're going to go to heaven, we go to heaven on God's terms. It's not our heaven. It's God's heaven. And we're not the potter. We're the clay. He created us. So if we're going to get to heaven, we got to play by God's rules. We have to trust his son. That's it. He's the only way. And yet there are multitudes of people that trust everything and everyone under the sun but Jesus. People ask all the time, you mean tell me that Muslims aren't going to heaven? No, they're not. Yeah, but they're really sincere. They do all this praying stuff several times a day, and they bow down, and they live kind of a strict life, And so surely they're going to heaven. No, not if they haven't received Christ as Savior. And they believe he was just a prophet. Now, no doubt Israel would face many enemies and fight many battles when they conquered the land. We're going to read about it. We're going to see that in Joshua. But they had the opportunity, if they obeyed God, God, of course, said, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to defeat your enemies. You're just going to go through the motions. If you do what I say and you obey me and you love me with all your heart, you're going to conquer this land and it's not going to be a problem. But unfortunately, sometimes they disobeyed. It didn't take long, did it? They wanted Jericho, then came Ai. What happened at Ai? You know, they lost, and Joshua was stunned. What? How do we lose? There was sin in the camp. There was sin in the camp. But God wanted them to live in a prosperous and secure land. They would be separated from the pagan nations, but yet they would be a constant witness of the reality of the one true God and the power of God if they just lived the way God wanted them to live. God would help them. God would shield them. God would be their sword so they would not have to fear. Warren Wiersbe said this, and I quote, Israel's greatest danger wasn't the armies around them, but the appetites within them, end of quote. Because idol worship, as I mentioned, became a real snare for them, and their hearts were drawn away into idolatry. Instead of treading on their high places. Verse 28 says, Israel shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn or grain and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew, talking about the prosperity that could be theirs. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. But instead of treading on their high places, they sank lower and lower into the pits of sin, which then, of course, God allowed them to be carried captive in Assyria and ultimately Babylon. Now this, verses 28 and 29 were only partially fulfilled when they entered the land. Full fulfillment will be during the millennial reign of Christ. All right, any questions or comments? We covered a lot of stuff this morning. Anybody? All right, let's go over the prayer list together. Remember, if you want some specific requests prayed for, we pray after Sunday school every Sunday. That prayer sheet is on the back podium back there. When you come in, just write down your request. And then we also pray for the same requests and any new ones that anyone has on Wednesday night in the beginning of our service. Wednesday nights right now we're studying, we're in between Bible books. We're doing a study on how to keep going. It's really easy to quit, is it not? All right, continue to pray for our church, for our nation. Pray for Ukraine, the situation there. That thing needs to end. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for our missionaries. Also Samaritan's Purse, Voice of the Martyrs, Jews for Jesus. We support these organizations as well. Mark has a doctor's appointment on August the 16th. Continue to pray for him. Pray that God will heal Bill's kidneys. He needs those things rejuvenated. So pray for Bill. Sherry is home today. She got shingles, which that's nasty. I got that shingles. Now the vaccine is covered by Medicare. Back then it wasn't. But it's worth every penny. I know people who had shingles and they never got over them. And they lived the rest of their lives in misery. Two people in particular, two older ladies that had it awful. So it's supposed to be 90% effective. I hope it is. But pray for her. And then she has a doctor's appointment too. She has a cancerous growth that has to be removed. So pray for Sherry. Pray for Lori. Lori had a good week.
Yes, it did.
And you got to keep on. Keep that. She goes next month and she'll know more about how things are actually going. But right now she's doing good. And we thank the Lord for that. Missy Nixon, Bill Nicholson, Ronnie and his mom. Pray for their health. Judy has an appointment August the 7th. I miss Judy. Don't you? And seen Judy in. I guess it's been heading on a year, isn't it? Been a long time. She moved up to Wardensville area. Continue to pray for Mary and Leonard's continued health and strength. Mary had Leonard plant, I think, like 500 acres of beans. Maybe not quite 500 acres, but how many bushels so far? How many, huh? How many bushels have you picked, Leonard?
Four
bushels of beans. And they're still coming like crazy. Leonard prayed, and that's good. Leonard prayed, said, Lord, give us a really good bean crop. But he didn't put a limit on it. You know, Lord, please don't, you know, not over 10 bushels. So they're coming in by the truckloads, and they're spotless. Mary said they're beautiful beans. Wow. And then they got some bird eggs, they said, coming, not the kind that hatch into little birdies, but the other kind of bird eggs. So that's good. Pray for my daughter, Michelle, oldest daughter, Michelle, upcoming doctor's appointment. She's got some issues, doesn't know what's going on, and they can't figure it out yet. So pray for Michelle. Betty has another cataract surgery coming up. Your pressure's up? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I still can't see. And I went in and I did lousy on the eye test. So they took my pressure.
And that's the eye that you had, the cataract.
She took my pressure three times off of the somehow, and it was up to 38. He says that it could be the steroid they put me on after the surgery, the post-op, that sometimes that will drive it up. So he lowered that. pray that it's improved. I'm tired of living in a fuzzy world.
I'm sure.
Okay. Mason, increase in rheumatoid arthritis meds, checking for a blood disease. He's going to Columbia, South America next Saturday on a medical mission trip. So pray for Mason. And then Brian and family traveling. Tommy and family traveling. These are all Fred and Anna Dale's family. Brian's son Tammy. Tommy. And then David Shoemaker family, death of David. Pray for that. Pray for that family. All right, let's stand together. Take these requests to the Lord. Our Father, we're thankful for the privilege we have to pray, and we know we can only pray because of what Christ accomplished upon the cross, and then ultimately you drawing us to the Savior and allowing us the privilege of repentance and faith in Him. And so now the door's open. We can approach the throne of grace boldly because of what He has accomplished. We thank You and praise You for that. And Lord, we've named a lot of names off to You. Some have physical needs. Some have upcoming tests. Some are having issues like Betty with her eyes. And Lord, we know that You are the all-powerful, great physician. And we pray that You would heal those that are afflicted. We pray that You would take away this pressure out of Betty's eyes and give her a clear vision that she can do those things that she needs to do. And of course, it helps in serving You as well. She's involved with the finances and really needs to see clearly. We thank You that Lori had a good week, and we pray You continue to bless her, and we pray for complete healing for her and her cancer. We ask, Lord, You protect those traveling the roads. And Lord, give us a great next hour as we study Your word together. We thank You, Lord, for those that are our guests today. We pray that, Lord, You bless them personally, that they'd receive something special from Your word today. And we're so thankful they're here, and we want them to know that we appreciate them being here and they are loved. Lord, give us a great day. May You be glorified in all that's said and done, because we're here, because we love You, we want to know more of You. And we enjoy fellowshipping with Christians because, as the Word of God says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. So, Lord, we treasure these times we have together, as one day born-again believers will gather together and be with You for all of eternity. And we look forward to that time. So bless our time together this coming hour. In Jesus' name. Amen.